1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to use our Bibles just a little bit here at the beginning and then keep them open, and we'll catch back up with some of this in a little while, but we're going to flip through a few verses to start with. We are continuing our study on the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I'm calling this Care for Our Temple of the Holy Spirit. The Care for Our Temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, let's look at verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just a page or two over. We're going to start reading, let's start in verse number 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now turn over to one other passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to read one verse here, verse 16. Then I'll pray, and then we'll jump right into the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And let's pray. Father, please, would you teach us the word tonight? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts as we teach about him tonight? Holy Spirit, would you guide my lips, my thoughts, and would you guide the ears of these people to hear what you have for them? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the temple was the most sacred place for the Jew. The temple was, by the way, because they rejected Jesus as Savior, the temple still is the most sacred place to the Jewish people. It is the temple that is referred to here. That is the temple that was given to King David, who passed it on to Solomon, and it is the temple that Solomon had built. This is that temple that we talk about. It was the permanent dwelling place. The Old Testament, before the temple, had what we call the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle is a portable temple. It was a portable church. Not like a porta potty, but it was a porta church. Amen. What's the matter, Brother Hawkins? Good night. I finally woke him up at least. Amen. You don't believe I said, come on. You know I said worse than that before. But this temple was a place of sacrifice. It was a place where God's presence would come and dwell. Once a year after the sacrifices, the Shekinah glory of God would come down and go into the what was called the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant was there, and the Shekinah glory of God, God's presence, would actually come down, by the way, in the month of October. It was this month because October 10th, you would put the lamb up, and then you would put it up for 4 days, sacrifice it, and then they would, that was the time of year, and then God's glory would come down, dwell there for a little time, and it was a great festive type of time. By the way, that's why, listen to this statement, that's why when Jesus was crucified as our Savior, as our Lamb, watch what happened. The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Say why? We no longer needed a temple because the Holy Spirit then was going to come indwell in the body of the believers. We had direct access to God. That is why that statement is in the Bible, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. God said, don't need that anymore. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit now indwell the believers. That's why as he died as our Lamb, he resurrected as our high priest. And that's when the indwelling took place. Now, listen to me very carefully. In the temple, it was much like the tabernacle. You had an outer courtyard, and then you had an inner room here, which was for the general priests. In the tabernacle, you had the table of showbread, you had the golden candlestick, you had the altar of incense, and the veil. The temple was set up identically in the inner parts of that the same way. And all the priests had access into here, even sometimes the general public. But nobody was allowed into this place called the Holy of Holies. In that place called the Holy of Holies was one piece of furniture. It was the Ark of the Covenant. That Ark of the Covenant was like a Lord's Supper table. It had a seat built on it called the mercy seat. Inside that chest, inside that Lord's Supper table, so to speak, you had the two tablets of stone from Moses. That Moses went up and got. God took his finger and wrote in those. Moses didn't write those, by the way. You go to the book of Exodus and find that out. Then you also had a pot, a gold pot, that had manna in it that God preserved. Then there was a rod in there, Aaron's rod, when it budded, picturing the resurrection. And we won't go into all that mess, but that's what was in it. One time a year, the high priest only. Only the high priest, on one day, a specified day, after a process, was allowed to go into that Holy of Holies with blood and a hyssop weed, go under that veil, put that blood on the mercy seat, and God's glory would come down in that room while he was there. By the way, if he did it the wrong way, if he did it without following exactly what God said, God would kill him. On the bottom of his clothing, he had little bells, kind of like what Brother Hawkins wears on his pajamas. He wore little bells on there, and if the clanking stopped, they had a big long hook, and they would reach in there and pull out the dead high priest because God would kill him. It was that serious. Now, that's how it worked in the temple and in the tabernacle of the Old Testament. But God says, we read three different times, actually four, in three different passages, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is the temple now of the Holy Ghost. That is serious. Now, this is a building. I know that was deep. This is a church building. Did you know that a church building is not the temple of God? It's a place to meet, to get out of the cold, get out of the rain, get out of the heat, meet together, have a comfortable place to meet, and hear the word of God taught. That's what a church building is. Our church is not a temple. I'm going to go ahead and say this. The auditorium is not a sanctuary. That is a denominational term. We'll get into that in a minute. My secretary is laughing her head off right now. Her Methodist roots are showing. Amen. She loves it. Every once in a while, she'll slip. Amen. I'll say, the what? Yes, sir. All right. But, this is not a sanctuary. The sanctuary was the Holy of Holies where the presence of God was. Your body is the sanctuary for God if you're saved. This is not a sanctuary. Your body is the sanctuary. This is the auditorium. Now, I think it's sanctified in the fact that it's set apart for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I don't think it's a place that the kids ought to be running around all the time. Now, if we pull the chairs out and have an activity in here for the ladies and they do their frou-ha-ha stuff, okay. But during church, it's not a time just to run around and play. To me, the platform area is even more sanctified. And this piece of wood right here called a pulpit, that's even more. You have a say-so on that side. You don't have a say-so on this side. I don't have a say-so on this side. Only God does. And I am to obey him whether I like it or not. And that's just the way it'll be. Now, listen to me very carefully. Now, listen to this very carefully. This church building is just that. It's a place to meet. God only meets with us when God's people are here, because only then is the Holy Spirit here. This place is not some spooky place. Okay, if you've ever been here at night, in a real windy night, and all the lights are off, amen, Brother Joe? And it's been hot in the day and getting cold at night, or going the other direction, and the building's popping, crunching, and moaning and groaning. It can get a little spooky. But it's not some, the church is where God meets with us. No. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit's in you. That's where God meets with you. Well, what's the purpose of church then? Hospital for all of us to come get a little booster shot 3 times a week, get fixed up so we can go out and help somebody else. That's what it's all about. Now, I'm for a clean, comfortable place to meet. You know that. We work hard at keeping things clean and neat and somewhat organized. Too many churches, though, they put so much emphasis on their building and they don't have the power of God. Now listen to this statement. They have to have a building that looks like a place where God would want to be, because they don't have God in themselves. Right. Tens of millions of dollars are spent on ornate, fancy, museum-like buildings. God does not live in a building. He wants to live and does live in the heart of every believer. Folks, I'm for clean, neat, and comfortable. I'm not for fancy. Instead of spending $50,000 on a chandelier, let's spend a couple $100s on some LED lights, amen, Brother Barnes, and put the other $49,500 into reaching people. There's nothing, nowhere in the Bible where you walk into a church building, oh, God can meet with us here. No, God's supposed to meet with you inside your heart, because the Holy Spirit's to live inside you. Now listen to me very carefully. According to the Bible, the body of the believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the place God has chosen to dwell. Now listen to me. It is the building that God holds important, not the church. You know, God's more concerned about your body than he is this church building. God doesn't live in this church. He lives in you. Now, listen to me very carefully. Man builds these beautiful buildings because he wants a place for his God to dwell, but he doesn't want him to live inside him. They'll spend multiplied millions of dollars with all of their beautiful artifacts and their beautiful chandeliers and their modern technology and all the beautiful pageantry that goes into the modern day buildings, and we say, wow. You go to the average cathedral, you know, you hear all the stuff in the background, and they're thinking they're holy. This is a place where God dwells. The only reason God dwells there is if there's somebody there that's saved. Without somebody being saved there, guess what? God's not there. You can paint all the pictures on the Sistine Chapel wall you want, but if folks aren't saved, God doesn't participate. Now, listen to me very carefully. They're trying to cover up what they don't have in their body, and that is the Holy Spirit. You see, they try to make it look like they have him with their building. God said his building for the Holy Spirit is your body. Now, listen to me very carefully. Your body is the building. Tonight, I want to show you how to take care of your body or your building of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to use just a little bit of practicality tonight, and I want you to pay attention. Parents, if you'll listen tonight, I can help you with your child rearing. Parents with teenagers, you listen to me. Your preacher wants to help you tonight. I do know a little bit about what I'm talking about tonight. This first point it's sensitive. I'll say some things. Some of you older, mature, married folks will understand it better than others. You older teenagers may even understand it. Some of you parents, if you'll listen to me, I can teach you how to teach something very important to your smaller children too. Number one, only one person was allowed into the Holy of Holies in the temple. Only one was allowed into that Holy of Holies in the temple. I really believe God is teaching us that that means we are to keep our body pure. Did you catch that? Do you know that your physical purity affects your spirituality? America is getting away from God, and the more she gets away from God, the more impure she is physically. People in the Old Testament, listen to this. By the way, boys and girls, keep your body pure. When you walk down this altar and get married, be a virgin. That's not a bad word, by the way. That means you keep your paws off each other. Well, I know so-and-so, and it's okay to just hold hands. No, it's not. You come to this altar and be pure. Your first kiss ought to be at the altar, and unless it's your dad or your mom. Maybe grandma and grandpa, I understand that, all right? But you all know what I'm talking about. I believe you ought to hit this altar pure. Say why? Because that Holy of Holies was reserved for one person. And your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means there should only be one person. Now listen to me very carefully. People in the Old Testament could die touching things from the Holy of Holies that weren't supposed to touch them. Remember the story of a man named Uzzah, whatever you want to call him, old Uzzy? They were supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant on two long poles carried by men. They put it on an ox cart, got to Nathan's threshing floor, it rocked, and Uzzah reached up to touch it, to steady it, and God killed him. Say, preacher, why are you saying keep our hands off each other? You touch somebody's Holy of Holy and you're not supposed to, God has the right to kill you because that's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm not kidding when I say you touch my daughter, I'll kill you. I'll let God do it, amen? I believe in that. Now, you say, well, you're just so old-fashioned. I may be old-fashioned, but I just happen to believe a holy God. I happen to believe that if you're a saved child of God, you keep your hands to yourself. Everybody doing all right? By the way, parents, if you'll teach your children what their body is after they get saved, they're less likely to become impure. Teach them. Boys, keep your hands off the girls. Period. Fellas, keep your hands off the girls. Girls, keep your hands off the guys. It goes both ways. You see, we've created something in America that it used to be if an unmarried person got pregnant, they were called getting in trouble. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you gray hairs know for sure what I'm talking about. Now it's natural. Now in most public schools, you have nurseries for the children of the kids going to school. Moreover, I did a little research. There were over 100 girls that gave birth last year at Martinsburg High School alone. High school. Martinsburg. We're not talking inner city. It's accepted. Only by our society, not by God. Everybody doing okay? Man, I feel like I just sucked all the air out of the room. Okay, hang in there. The Bible says only one man chosen by God was supposed to go into that Holy of Holies. Now listen to this statement. you need to pray that you find the right spouse. Parents need to pray that their children find the right spouse. And they don't have to go from person to person to person to person to person in marriages trying to figure it out. Now, you know, if you've been divorced, remarried, you know this man loves you and I don't give a rip. But I will tell you, stay with the one you're in and make it the best it can be. I have to warn those that haven't made mistakes, don't make them. Don't make them. Young people, listen to this statement. That is why you should never, and I'll say it again, never date anybody that's lost. Because the Holy Spirit is not inside a lost person, and God could not choose a lost person to be part of your Holy of Holies with the Holy Spirit. So, well, I know somebody. Yeah, for every one you show me, I'll show you 1,000 that didn't work. Every one you show me, I'll show you 1,000 that did not. Everybody doing okay? I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I've been preaching this for about 20 years or more. I'm not afraid of it. I get a little weary of young people making a decision, well, I'm going to stay pure until I get married. How about we all make a decision, we're going to stay pure all the way through marriage as well? I don't think that you ought to stay pure until you get married. I think you ought to stay pure all the way through marriage. I believe in God's eyes, if you do, when you die, you're still pure. Because that was God's plan. Everybody doing okay? Man, I feel like it's quiet in here. Don't pervert your temple. Folks, if I open the doors up and let the prostitutes in to do their business in and out of this church, most every one of you would have a holy cow or a holy pig. And by right, you should. Just so you know. Why is it okay for you to do that with the Holy Spirit's temple? It's not. Okay? So, number one, only one person was allowed into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. Number two, smile. We should keep the temple clean for the Holy Spirit. I believe it's right to keep things clean and neat for God, don't you? Then that means you're supposed to keep your body clean. I'm going to get real practical here, okay? Did you know it's not unsanitary for you to bathe every day? Oh, soaps, chemicals, that'll eat your skin off. Well, eat a few skin chemicals off, all right? Or skin cells. Do the rest of the world a favor, amen? I really believe that you ought to bathe every day of your life unless something unforeseen or whatever. There's only been a few times in my life I can think of that I've gone more than 24 hours without a bath, and that's usually when I was out in the woods deer hunting and I was stuck in a place where there was no water to bathe in, or you had to break the ice to get to the water. And that's only happened a couple times in my entire adult life. Okay? Literally, a couple times. Folks, our world is filthy. You walk into the average public restroom and it's vile. Can I tell you something? When you go to a public washroom, clean up after yourself. It should be the same at home too. Good night. If everybody just cleaned up after themselves, it wouldn't be such pigsty. Okay, I'm getting in trouble here. Did you know that deodorant's not a bad word? Yeah. Did you know that cologne or perfume for ladies, cologne for men, is not a bad thing? Or aftershave? Good night. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think, and boy, I'm going to get in trouble on this one. I think that you ought to keep your clothes clean. They do make things called washing machines. And it's not, yeah, Brother Gus, that's what your wife uses for all of your filthy stuff. All right? It's that white box that's got the thing on it, and she puts water and soap in it, and okay. And by the way, it's not the dishwasher for your clothes either. Folks, I think that we ought to be clean and neat. Now, I'm not saying you have to be fancy. I've said this. I'm not ashamed of this. I'm plain meat and taters. I entertained two pretty high-profile business people in my office this week, and I was quite comfortable. I did not feel out of place. They felt out of place. I didn't. My secretary can tell you, they walked through the door and went, wow. That was their first words. Wow. When they walked into this auditorium, one of them had to sit down. Their breath was taken away. The other one jokingly said, where's your amplifiers and electric guitars and speakers? Now, wait a minute. I was dressed in a suit just like I am today. I met them like I did not dress up for them. Say why? I don't have to. I don't have to. Okay, we're getting real practical. Have a good dental hygiene. That means brush your teeth at least once a day. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean once a week. That's once a day. Boys and girls, that means put toothpaste on it too, not just run the thing in and out of your mouth once. Well, I took a shower. I've had boys. Did you use water? Well, go back in there. They come back out. Did you use soap? I think so. Go back in there. You know, when you go back in, check on the shower and the soap's dry, you know something didn't take place, you know. If the shampoo bottle's not empty, they didn't use any soap, amen? Now, keep your breath clean. Keep your teeth clean. And I'm going to say this. Keep your body as healthy as you can. Did you know that if you keep a healthy body, you have a healthy place for the Holy Spirit to dwell? Let me ask you a question. Look at me for a second. If you knew God was coming to meet with you, how would you take care of your body? Well, He lives inside you. If you knew you were going to meet the Holy Spirit face to face, would you take a shower? Would you smell good, brush teeth, comb your hair, something other than a rake? Would you polish your head? Amen, Brother Joe. Would you clean yourself up? Well, guess what? He's living inside you every moment. I believe you ought to keep your body healthy. Did you know if you eat right, you'll feel a little better? Now, everybody has their own definition of what eating right is. Okay? And I understand that. I will tell you this. The more sugar and chocolate you have, the less eating right you're doing. Boy, did that one hurt. Amen? But, especially after I said bring more dessert Sunday night. But I think that we all could choose healthier things. But, and I've said this before, there's two realms, there's actually three realms of thinking. You have the people over here that say, whatever is in the grocery store, it's safe to eat, just eat it. You have the people over here that say, you got to eat tree bark, drink swamp water, and chew on dandelion roots, amen? Okay. I'm not saying either is bad. I will tell you this, what most people call healthy is still a weed. And weeds came because of the result of sin. Everybody doing okay? And I'm not mad. But there are some things that make your body work better than others. Now, sleep right. Now, you say, yeah, 10 hours a day. There's very few people in this world that need more than about 6 or 7 hours of sleep. Well, I feel bad. I didn't say that, but if you'd start, the older you get, the more sleep you're going to need, okay? There's two stages of life where you sleep a lot. When you're very little and when you're very old. Say, why? Because your body is either just growing and that's how you get through it, or you've already done all your work. That's why it's called retirement, amen? Because you're retired. You get tired again from doing what you already did. You get tired about thinking about what you used to do. Okay, then you're going to require a little more sleep. That's fine. Parents, some of your kids would sleep better if you'd work them harder. I'm just being honest with you. Some of your kids need trained, not just told. And by the way, I put this in here. My wife's in the nursery. She'll hear this. And I've been doing good lately. You need to go to the doctor regularly for a checkup. Men, that doesn't mean an autopsy. That's not a checkup. That's a checkout. Okay? autopsy is not a checkup. Okay? If you'll just trust me on this, if you heard all the bad news I hear, I'm 47 years old. Do you know how many people I know that have died of heart attacks before they're my age? Now, wait a minute. I haven't been always as good at this, but I've scheduled regularly, yearly appointments, and I'm keeping them. Say, why? Because I plan on working hard till I can't work anymore. Say, when can't you work anymore? Last breath I take. I want to go in the saddle, amen? I'm not looking to go on the next load either. But I plan on giving it everything I've got. I'm in pretty good shape. I really am. My doctor and my chiropractor, I go to both. And when they take my blood pressure, the ladies that take my blood pressure, they say, oh, you have blood pressure to die for. I said, I hope not. And they'll laugh. And no, it's just so perfect. Every time, look at your chart. And I say, good, that's what I'm looking for. My blood pressure is great, all that kind of stuff. I'm in pretty good shape other than I got a bad hip. Okay, I'm okay in my mental faculties too. But anyway, we're okay. Now, fellas, it's not sissy to go to the doctor. Every once in a while, you could prevent some long-term troubles. I've had people that call me and they say, preacher, what do you think? And I'll advise them medically a little bit. I'll point them in a certain direction. I'm not afraid of this. By the way, sometimes my advice shocks people. I had a person call me and they said they want to do a certain procedure. My doctor, what do you think? I said, go see this person. Go see my chiropractor. Let him try to help you. That quick, they are not going to be doing any medical procedures and they're feeling better. Because there are some things that the medical world, they're, you have extremists on both sides. Everybody doing okay? So help me with that. All right. So number three, I got to hurry and I'll be done. We need to clothe the temple of the Holy Spirit appropriately. We need to clothe the temple of the Holy Spirit appropriately. I did not say it has to be fancy. Do you know that Sunday morning, if we have some visitors in here and ladies, they're not dressed quite like you think they ought to be dressed, I'm just as happy. At least they're here. We'll teach them. They'll learn. Most people haven't been taught. It's the ones that have been taught that rebel against it, that don't do it, that bother me. We should, I'm going to go ahead and say this, and I'm trying to be appropriate. We should clothe our body in the gender God made it. I worked real hard at that statement, just so you know. You know, Deuteronomy 22:6 is still in the book, 22:5. man's not supposed to dress like a woman, and a woman's not supposed to dress like a man. And I hate to tell you, I don't care what you think from here up. God put things on your body to tell you what you is. Well, I'm just so confused. We'll talk. Folks, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. If it goes bark, bark, I don't care how many times you call it a kitty cat, it's still a dog. If it goes moo, you can call it a horse all you want, but it's still a cow. You can call it whatever you want to call it, but it still is what it is. Everybody doing okay? Sodomy and the unisex movement has destroyed the morality of dress in our world today. I'm not being unkind, but I think that the Holy Spirit deserves the right to be dressed in a house appropriately. I just believe that. Ladies, I know it's harder for you. Believe me. I know it's harder for you. I better be careful. Ladies, you don't understand how your dress affects a man's thinking. You're not a man. But I'm not afraid to say this. It's not an excuse for men to do or to think wrong. But how much of it are you contributing to it? It does not make wrong that any man would think or say. But how much are you revealing so that he is prone to think that way? By the way, men, dress like a man. Act like a man. Walk like a man. Some of you mamas might have a boy and don't have a dad for an example. I've had a lot of single mamas, and they'd say, can you teach my boy some manliness? Yep. First thing I do is I go buy him a pair of cowboy boots. Amen, Brother Taylor? Because you can't walk like a girl in a pair of cowboy boots. You cannot do it. It takes the wiggle right out of the walk in a hurry. Say, what's the next thing you do? Take them out, split wood. Work them till they can't hold on to anything, till they got blisters. Work them till they can't stand up anymore. You say, what is that? Teach them to be a man. I think a boy ought to go out and sweat and stink, cut his leg with a chainsaw, and all that other kind of good stuff. Amen, Thomas? Wow. Now, wait a minute. By the way, we don't need to dress. Listen to this statement. We don't need to dress the temple of the Holy Spirit in the world's styles. Did you know that sin is usually an excess or a wrong timing of good? Do you know that water is good, but you can drink enough water to kill yourself? You can poison yourself with too much water. You can literally flush so much water through your body that you die. Proven. Did you know that a little bit of rain is good? But 40 days and 40 nights, it's a flood. Now, it wasn't the rain that was bad. It was the excess. Now, listen to this. Did you know that an earring on a lady, earrings on a lady is not bad, but it's not meant for a man? By the way, one per ear. Don't make it look like you got in a fight with a popper of a gun and lost. Good night, the world styles. It looks like they walked into one of those factories that studs couches and got stuck in the machine and rolled over a few times. Good night. Did you know a necklace isn't bad? But if you've got 40 of them and you look like Mr. T, something's wrong. Okay, everybody about 30 and over understood that. Everybody else, you have no idea what I just said. sorry. And by the way, I'm not against makeup. But if you got enough to bondo a car, something's wrong. If I could paint Brother Barnes's Suburban with it, there's too much on there. Okay? It's like bracelets. Good night. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a fad of girls. See how many bracelets, you know, they had them clear up to here in their arms. They wear 30 and 40 and 50 of them at a time. And please don't get mad at me. I'm not saying it's wrong for a lady to have a couple rings on. But when you've got one on your thumb, and you got two on that finger, and three on that finger, and two on that finger, and three on that finger, and you got them on your toes and everywhere else, the only reason you wear something on your foot like that or around your ankle is to draw a man's attention. God didn't make toe rings. Ain't no man in the world who wants to bend down and put a ring on that thing, amen? Sorry, shouldn't have said that. We need to quit looking like the rock groups, the sodomites, the Hollywood whores, and the skateboarders. That's not what God wanted for the body of the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean I go to bed wearing a shirt and tie. I don't go hunting in a shirt and tie, usually. I have on occasion. Amen, Dad? I've gone on soul winning night, go out hunting when the time change. I'd put my soul winning clothes on underneath and throw my coveralls over top, pull the tie off. I'd have my boots on and my soul winning shoes in the truck, go hunting for a while. I've even gutted a deer. I'm thinking, man, I got 20 minutes to get to the church. I've got clean stuff to clean my hands up with, got it cleaned up, got to change my boots, take my coveralls off, put my tie on, get to the church, go to the bathroom, wash my hands, clean up a little bit, comb my hair. I'm at soul winning. You say, that's not normal. No, nobody said I was normal. But I don't go hunting just like that. Say, there's propriety. I don't play baseball generally dressed in a suit. On occasion I have, but not in general. I'm not saying that you have to wear a suit everywhere you go. But I will say we ought to be dressing like Christians and like the Holy Spirit says we should dress. You can go out and buy a pair of jeans that have holes in them and pay $100 for a pair of jeans we used to throw away. Good night. If I walked outside in a pair of jeans like that, after my mama got done beating me, my dad would have turned them on fire while they were still on me. I mean, he would have had smoke alarm practice. Trust me. Let's give the Holy Spirit a clean, neat covering and allow him to do his work. Can I tell you something? This casual society, that's why we don't have any respect. None. Two business people sat in my office the other day. I treated them with respect. They treated me with respect. Treated them with their dignity and they with mine. The one said this, we've met with a lot of churches. Pastor, you're different. I said, what do you mean by that? And they said this. Now listen to this. They both said, you're not that old. I said, oh, I like you. They said, you're not that old, but you have the old-fashioned way. I said, thank you very much. They said, you have that old professional, that old respectful. I'll bet your people enjoy this church. I said, we have a blast. I said, and I love them. And both of these people said, and I'll bet they love you. I said, they do. I said, see that cup of coffee? Two of my members were here a little while ago and just bought me a cup of coffee. They said, they came by to give you a cup of coffee? I said, yeah. Wow. I said, how could you tell? They said, you dress. You're not the casual. You're not this modern style. You don't have the spiked hair. I said, I'm just glad to have any hair. We talked a while about that. Folks, I said, church is important. I said, we don't play church here. This is real to me. I said, my people don't play church. I said, it's real to us. folks, your body is where the Holy Spirit lives. How you treating it? Brothers and sisters, that means you shouldn't be beating on the Holy Spirit. That means you shouldn't be hitting each other. Do you realize you're hitting the Holy Spirit? You're beating on the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Now, that might sound humorous to you, but I'm serious. I think we ought to treat each other with respect. I really do. I think we ought to pray for our children to marry the right people. I thank God when my son Josh got married this summer, he married a fine young lady. You know, I've met her dad one time. He's gone through a little trouble lately. Almost every day for the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've texted him. I got a text from him today, and he said, Brother Bush, thank you. He's a very private person. Very good man. I mean, a very good man. I said, Doc, I prayed for 23 years for my son to find the right young lady. Why would I not pray for her daddy? By the way, I've prayed for my son to find the right young lady. I've prayed for my daughter to never get married. You don't know the look I just got on that one. I've prayed. You say, why? Because I want them to be as happy as my wife and I are. Why wouldn't I? But the only way they're going to do that is if they listen to the Holy Spirit like we did and take care of their bodies like we did as the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what caring for the housing, the building for the Holy Spirit is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe somewhere in the inner reaches of your life, you need to make some adjustments. That's okay. Maybe you need to work as a brother or a sister at being better towards one of your siblings. Maybe it is that you need to work on how you clean yourself up or how you dress. Whatever it is, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.